Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Small Town Tourist Podcast, where we are experiencing and exploring everything that makes small towns great. I'm Abby, and welcome to the first episode of 2025. I am so excited to be sharing this episode with you today. We are chatting with Caitlin Whitman. She is the CEO of Rain Factory, which is a company that helps do marketing for startups. And it was so great to connect with Caitlin. We actually met in a Facebook group for a podcasting software that we're both using, and we kind of wanted an opportunity to mess around some different settings and get a better feel for the recording process on this software. And it just so happened that we both had time before Christmas to record this episode. We got to know a little bit more about Caitlin and what Rain Factory does. And I think it is just such an awesome story of what she does, how she helps people, and kind of what her plans are for 2025, which is her 11th year in business. So super excited for her. Can't wait for you to get to know Caitlin Whitman better with Rain Factory. Please enjoy this episode.
I'm Caitlin Whitman. I'm from Vienna, Virginia, and I'm the CEO of rainfactory.com.
You do not look old enough to be a CEO. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I was fortunate enough to be the co-founder 10 years ago. And so I slowly kind of stayed behind the scenes and kept working, got my MBA, and then only just this year transitioned into being the solo CEO. So
that's crazy.
It's been a journey. Yeah.
Okay. So we're definitely going to get into that. First of all, you said you're from Vienna, Virginia?
Yes.
Okay. So give me what side of Virginia are you on?
Okay. So it's Northern Virginia, and we try to distinguish ourselves from Southern Virginia by calling ourselves Nova.
Okay.
I lived in Seattle for about 10 years. When I was there, I would always just introduce myself as Virginia outside of DC.
Okay.
That's the sort of alignment, because Northern Virginia is just such a different vibe from Central and Southern Virginia, or even coastal. It's just, yeah.
I feel like that state, it's got a little bit of everything depending on what corner you're from.
Yes, it really does. You can get up in the mountains. You got the Blue Ridge and the hillbillies, and then you have the beaches with Virginia Beach. There's the Navy brats down in Norfolk.
Yep.
And then you have all of the politicos in the DC area.
Yeah, so I got a cousin who lives in the suburbs of DC, and he's I would not classify him as my stereotypical Virginian, but
yeah. One person even said, "Oh, so you don't have an accent." I said, "Okay, yes, the Mason-Dixon line is just our eyebrows." But I mean, come on.
I like that it's our eyebrows. That's perfect. Okay, so let's get into Rain Factory, because I spent a good portion of the morning scoping out your website, getting ready for this interview, and it is so interesting what you do. So let's start at the very beginning. How did you get to the point of being a co-founder of this?
I think I'll start from college, because it was a really interesting connection. I used to intern for this consumer electronics warranty company called Asurion. So you'll see Asurion warranties all over. It's actually a local privately held business out in Dulles, Virginia. When I graduated, they went through a major transition and restructuring, and the whole strategy team that I interned for was cut. Okay. But my mentor from that team, he landed in San Francisco, California, with some harebrained app idea that didn't work out. But the app development company wanted to bring him on, saying, "I love the way that you're talking. I love what you're saying. So let's work together." And by that time, my boyfriend, then fiance, we moved out to Seattle. So I was living in Seattle full time, bouncing between a front desk job and fun employment. And I get the phone call from my mentor in San Francisco saying, "Look, this is a startup opportunity. You cannot miss it. I need you specifically, because we work so well together. And here's just a travel budget so you could just come and be in San Francisco."
Wild.
Yeah. So for 3 months, I was flying 2 weeks down, 2 days home, 2 weeks down, 2 days home, and just being in the startup, being in the room where they were negotiating big deals with Monster or Capital One. And just doing anything that was needed just in terms of prepping decks or looking at opportunities. I mean, of course, I did a lot of meeting bookings, but then it got exhausting. So I said, look, I got my agency expertise. I'm just going to put in my notice and, you know, I'm going to be full time in Seattle. I can't do this dual city life.
Especially when the cities are so far apart.
Yeah.
Like it's not a drive away, it's a flight away.
Yeah, exactly. I would wake up at 4 a.m. I would catch the 6 a.m. flight. It was an hour and 15 minutes. Then I would ride the BART into the office and I'd be in by 9 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah. It was just such a slog. But, you know, you're in your early 20s and you're just living for it. I didn't care. I slept on people's couches. I, you know, made friends with people that were living on Lombard Street, which is like the you know, the most gorgeous little curvy street in San Francisco. So I was just, it was just a very much happy to be here kind of moment.
That's crazy. So you get to be, to quote Hamilton, in the room where it happens. Yes. And you're seeing all these crazy things go on. What are you thinking? Are you thinking like, this is what I'm going to do forever, or I'm going to put my own spin on it? What was your brain going through in those situations?
I really do believe in just kind of opening up to opportunity and leaving a whole bunch of possibilities open and going for, you know, what I feel is going to be sort of advancing my own curiosity and my own career in that moment. So I was really happy to be in this sort of, you know, fast-paced web development, app development world. But then I started to kind of realize that I needed to have a little bit more life balance in there. And I really have a good knack for marketing. I did marketing in college for a bunch of theater groups. I'm a theater kid. I did marketing for my commercial real estate group that I was a front desk person at. They found out that I was really good at doing flyer and email designs. So they just started giving me more projects.
Here,
so
you can do this, do this.
Yeah. They're like fighting over me. But, you know, by the time I was feeling like, okay, I'm just going to look for more creative agencies in the Seattle area and continue my growth there. I got a brand new project called Jibo, the world's first family robot. It was some inventors from MIT who wanted to do pre-sales for their new robot. So I jumped on that opportunity. It was kind of like a, you know, you like technology, you like electronics, you know a lot about marketing. Here, take this project. And I fell in love with, you know, building them their website, but then they needed so much more. They needed social media, they needed email, they needed all of this stuff. And similar to my experience at the commercial real estate firm, they're just like, okay, Caitlin, here, just do our emails. Okay, you can do our social media. Then they started calling me, you're the expert. So here, we're going to meet you with what you're going to say about pricing. I was like, oh, what? Okay. I guess I'm doing this.
Just kind of being in the right place at the right time with the right skill set is the thing that people always kind of leave off of that phrase. Like, you are right place, right time, right skills.
Yes, that's exactly it. And that's the opportunity meets chance.
So the home robot, what I remember like seeing it pop up randomly, I think on YouTube or something. What exactly did that thing do, or does that thing do?
I'm so surprised that you know about it, because it was all over the place in 2014, because we did all of their advertising spend. And by then I quit my full-time position at this development firm and I started Rain Factory full-time. We ended up choosing a crowdfunding platform because of a technical issue collecting payments.
That's how it got to crowdfunding, is because of technicality?
Just a technicality, yes. And a fortuitous party where my client was at a party with someone from Indiegogo. And they're saying, hey, why don't you just use crowdfunding? We don't take, you know, we're not going to give you any issues with your payment.
Wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, these things happen in San Francisco all the time. So that's why, yeah, I loved being in that city for that time in my life, because you kind of feel ooh, my Uber driver could be this, you know?
Yeah, really. That is one of those towns where anyone could be anyone at any given second.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know.
So you started Rain Factory 2014 then. So, wow, you're going on year 11 coming up here.
Just celebrated 10 years in May.
So they were your first like client then, you would say, for Rain Factory?
Yeah. Yeah. They were my first client. And they ended up selling $2.3 million in 60 days.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was huge. It just caught on like wildfire. And we took, I mean, it was the first campaign to really take PR seriously, to take advertising seriously, to take community engagement seriously. Like, we had a great video and a great product. So all of these things kind of just overlapped and just, it was like lightning in a bottle. So.
And you were at the helm for all of it.
Yeah. I was the voice. I was writing all their emails. I had some people that were doing and buying the ads, but I was just in there like reporting, what should we do? Here's how much we're doing that. So it was incredible.
I know I personally would be nervous that like, okay, this went so well the first time. How the hell am I ever going to be able to replicate this? Like my next one, there's no way it's going to go as good as the first one. Like, what were you thinking?
I honestly, that just didn't even enter into my mind. It was just like, wow, we figured out, we've cracked the code and now we're just going to keep doing more of it. Even while that campaign was running, we landed our next client. And they had a really aggressive launch timeline. It was this company actually now known as 8Sleep. So they're this really smart mattress. At the time, they were just selling a mattress cover. Between, you know, working with them and learning a lot about their business and then bringing to bear what we were actively doing and working on with our other clients, you kind of get more sure as the marketing campaigns go on. That's now, there's amazing. A couple of humbling experiences, too. I mean, there's some people who are just like, oh, yeah, do what you did, but for this product. And it was just like a glorified, you know, cable box. And it had like a screen splitter in it that didn't take off at all.
Right. Yeah. It's got to be the right product, too. Because like Home Robot, like in 2014, everyone's like, oh, a home robot? What is this? The Jetsons? Is this Rosie? Oh, my goodness. The future is here.
Yes, it was it was crazy just to hear the people talk about it and how they really resonated with like the characterization, you know, of the little robot. So
yeah, yeah. It being cute doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, a little company named Amazon just came out with the Echo, took all of our video inspiration, took all of the product inspiration, and just made it cheaper and faster. Mm-hmm. So lessons learned.
Yep. So looking at your website, there's some really big names right on the homepage that you guys have trusted partnerships with: Atari, Segway, One Wheel, Logitech. I swear by my Logitech mouses, like mice. Hallmark is on there, Target. Like, how did partnerships like that start to come about?
You know, once you're in this space and you're getting really good at taking new challenger brands and kind of bringing them to market, you have some more of the bigger established brands that say, okay, how do we think more like an entrepreneur? How do we introduce a new product like a new company would, instead of just doing everything that we're doing, which is not working all the time?
Right.
So a company like Logitech would come to us and say, look, we've got this really cool new invention. Now we need you guys to build a community around it, find the market fit, find what messaging resonates about that. And the product in particular that we worked with for them was called the Reach camera. And so Reach is more of like a document camera, you know, like in elementary school.
Yeah, where like an overhead. Would have the
projector overhead. Yeah. So they wanted to bring that into, you know, the 21st century and then have a proper document camera that could, you know, zoom in and turn and operate. But they didn't know exactly how to market it because they thought immediately, oh, teachers are going to love this. But what we found is that creators really love this. And so in thinking more like an entrepreneur, where you're iterating and you're changing up all your marketing and it looks very different to very different people. That's how you're able to kind of come into, okay, actually, even though this was developed for teachers and they may love it, there's this other audience who love it even more and might be a better market opportunity.
Right. And they have a totally different use case for it. Yeah, that makes total sense. Do you have like a portion of what you do that's your favorite, like designing the graphics, or what is the part that sets your heart on fire?
Oh, I love that. You know, it's so funny because I've been hiring a lot of new people on my team. And one of my email marketers got really just overwhelmed and sick and was going through some stuff at home, needed to take fully a week off. We just told him, go away. And I just jumped in and I did all of his email marketing in Klaviyo. And he said, I had never had a CEO that would just jump in and do my job and I wouldn't have to worry about it. So that's, I think the sort of, I'm a very analytical kind of programmy person. So I really love the automation aspect of email marketing right now. It's just like, it's like a video game to me. You know, you kind of build these systems and then you just watch how it runs. I think that's kind of the most enjoyable part. Other than talking to cool new entrepreneurs, like right before this, I was talking with a skincare startup in Los Angeles that was, you know, just trying to find their niche. So,
yeah, I suppose you get to meet people in the very infancy stages of their business, especially if you're helping them with all of their marketing and launching a new product into the world. Like, I bet there's a lot of cool things that show up in your email inbox.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I always love like the latest and the greatest that comes along.
Do you have any recently that you're like, it's far enough along where you can say, oh, this one was like amazing when I first heard about it?
You mean
like that you don't got to keep secrets
about it today, yeah, but it was a secret before?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are some of those companies where you're like, okay, This is going to be really big and I believe in this and man, I wish I could just hold on to this as long as I can. I'm trying to debate which one I wanted to share. So I think my favorite is Omnilux, which is this little LED face mask, mm-hmm, and it's also on our homepage. But when they came to us, it was the sweetest old man and he had been in medical devices sales for decades. And he wanted to leave a legacy for his family to continue. And he wanted to start a direct-to-consumer business because his kids, who are adults, they're my age and older, they wanted to kind of like have something cool, have something new. And so Omnilux, which is really well-known and respected just as kind of medical device red light therapy, they were like, okay, we're going to do these face masks and we want to, you know, work with Rain Factory to test the market and see who is going to like this, who's going to respond to the messaging, what price should we charge? So I forget where the question started, but they quickly became my favorite because it was all family owned, but not like in a nepotism sort of way. It was like everybody's really smart and, you know, whether by blood or by marriage, they were just so fun and so cool to work with.
That is really cool. Cause like I see the red light therapy masks and I immediately think that like that was invented by a woman in her 30s trying not to age. But when you say it was an old man in a family, like what? That's mind-blowing.
He was so sweet and his daughter is so sweet and son-in-law is like super smart. And starting from just people that you love to bounce ideas off of and you feel really safe in pitching something, but knowing you have the support between you, your team, their team to kind of follow through on that stuff is just, yeah, it was another lightning in a bottle moment. And just watching them explode, watching celebrities like Mindy Kaling and Kim Kardashian wearing it. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, oh my gosh, I gave this to my mom for Christmas last year and here it is, you know, on a celebrity's face. Like that's insane.
That is truly a crazy wild ride. So what does it look like? So when you mentioned like trying to find the market for this, you don't have to give away all of your secrets. Obviously, like you're running a business, but like, how do you find the market for certain things? Like, is it just a matter of Googling endlessly, or what's that process like?
No, honestly, there's, and I think this is a big misconception, is that there's not a particular formula or proprietary method that is the key to unlocking a market fit. It really does all come down to the people and how adaptable the team that you have in place are. Because you could have a team where it's like, okay, Caitlin is just the owner of this process and she has the keys to the secret recipe and you got to follow the secret recipe. Or if we all just think like Caitlin or think like yourselves with your own experience, then you leave yourself open to those opportunities. So I think just kind of like how I go through life is that's how you should go through your business, is you leave yourself open to as many opportunities as possible while you're still chasing the one that you know the most about right now.
I love that. That is really solid advice.
Yeah. I would love to work with as many people as possible, but not everybody is in that, you know, that category. Not everybody wants to do the hard work that it takes to listen and change your whole business, change your team, right? And go through finding where is the best area that you need to grow.
That is just, it's so inspiring. I've been full-time self-employed only for 6 months now. I've been running my business for a handful of years on the side. And I finally like went all in, and like just hearing inspiring stories like this, seeing you run a business and be a CEO looking youthful as hell. And
no, thanks, Red Light Therapy.
Thank you, Red Light Therapy. But it's not truly sponsored. Inspiring to see a woman CEO being willing to help out her team in any capacity she can and still learning and growing and being observant. And I just think it's so cool.
I appreciate that. I aim to live as loudly and unapologetically as possible.
Wonderful. So looking ahead to 2025, say there's someone who's hearing this and they're like, I have an idea for something. I have the budget for marketing. I think I really want to work with Rain Factory. What would that look like for that person?
I think the objective that I'm looking for in 2025 is businesses who have a good toehold with a niche. And I think I'm going to use the founder that I literally just got off the phone with, and hopefully that we're going to be working together by the time this comes out. But if not, you know, this is a great example of somebody who had a really solid problem. There were a bunch of, I guess this is way too specific, but there were a bunch of chemists that made a better sunscreen. Oh. And they found that it was a really big hit with makeup artists because it was a better foundation for makeup. And they wanted to really kind of build this marketing engine because they've already kind of got it started, but they really need to understand how to grow. Those are the problems that I really enjoy solving. Businesses that I don't work with, or I gently refer to other freelancers or other specialists, include like B2B businesses, services businesses, people who are trying to open a restaurant. You know, a lot of people hear that I'm an expert in crowdfunding and they think that they mean that they can do their film project or fundraising for a friend who really needs a surgery. So while I wish everybody the best and I'm happy to, you know, spread the word or give any amount of help, I really do focus on products that do something better than everything else, just something better, and that they really want to grow through selling directly online. So widgets, products, things that maybe do something better, but it's higher priced. Maybe they have some issues, or maybe they just can't get above a certain level of scale because they're not thinking that they can tap into a different market. So those are the type of businesses that I'm looking to prioritize next year.
Very cool. I think that's a great way and simple way to put it. So if you got a product that does it better than any other product, Rain Factory. Get in touch with them.
That's it. We're just looking for better mouse traps or something that just wants to be positioned and looks better than every other mouse trap out there.
That's fantastic. Well, Caitlin, I really appreciate you hopping on this today. I'm so excited to follow along. I just went and followed you on social media everywhere. And I'm excited to see all the fun projects you got coming up in year 11 of your business.
I know. I'm so happy to share. And, you know, as long as we've been in business, it still feels like that fresh startup experience. So, you know, happy to keep, even though the business should be just considered mid-size, it's really good to just be in that startup space.
And the nice thing is you do kind of keep that startup energy going with all the new people you have coming on and launching. So,
yeah, completely. Well, thank you so much. This was really enjoyable. I love talking with you.
Thank you so much for checking out another episode of the Small Town Tourist Podcast. If you're looking for more content from me, you can find me on Facebook and on Instagram at The Small Town Tourist. You can check out the blog, thesmalltowntourist.com, and you can always like and subscribe and rate this show because that helps out a ton. So please be sure you do that as well. Just take a quick second to give it a 5-star rating and leave a nice little comment in the reviews. Thank you so much again for listening, and I will catch you next week.